Hey there, boys and girls, and welcome to God, Guns, and Fishing. God, Guns, and Game.
God, Guns, and Fishing.
No,
wow!
There is another side of me besides this side that does a wee bit of fishing. But I'm Frank, that's Pastor Donnie, and there's Captain Kale. And together, we're going to bring you a little bit about God, a little bit about guns, and a little bit about the game used that we're going to go get with them. So, all right, we will, let's get started here, and enough of Mr. Nugent there in the background. Okay, that's gone.
Shot any fish lately, Frank?
I could tell you, when first moved down here, we would try to skeet shoot mullet.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we would actually go back on the flats and...
as they jump, try to get one.
Yeah, you'd be in a flat with a whole bunch of mullet going, and we literally tried to skeet shoot mullet.
That's interesting.
And it's perfectly legal.
Wait a minute, Kale.
Sorry, buddy, I didn't have your mic up.
I think everybody out there on the water has thought of it at some point.
Okay, well, I have now.
But it was fun. You know, you get out there and... up, and you know, you don't know when it's coming, what's going to happen, how far they're going to jump,
yeah,
anything.
And
a lot of bang, 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 but actually very legal to do. There's no rules against shooting mullet,
right,
whether with a bow and arrow or a gun or anything. But yeah, I actually have gone out to shoot fish.
Have you ever tried to
I actually got one
see
once.
Why you want to shoot it. Did you?
I got one once.
Wow.
One time. Ate that sucker, he was good. I'm really proud of that mullet.
I can see it now. Go to Frank's house and there's a head mounted on a wall.
Yeah. A buckshot-filled mullet right there.
Well, today we're going to talk about a popular animal to hunt down here, especially in the South, and that's your wild hog.
That's because they're plentiful.
Yeah, very plentiful. In most places down here, they're considered a nuisance animal. Invasive species, a pest. So they've become very popular with a hunting crowd, and they're starting to get popular up north also.
Yeah.
And all over the country. People
are
hog hunting, boar hunting is becoming a big, big thing.
It's an animal that reproduces so fast that if you already have them in your state, it's already too late.
Yeah.
I
think they're worse than rabbits. Rabbits get a bad name for it, but... wild hogs, they get busy.
The University of Florida did a study, and they said that we would have to kill 80% of our population every year just to maintain it.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, 80%.
With all these new homes going in, it's hard to believe that, I mean, most of the land's getting taken up by putting new homes in.
I would say yes, and then I would say no.
Ripping it up.
I mean, I... drove from Fargo, North Dakota back here,
yeah,
you know, went up, bought the RV
camper,
and drove
yeah
back. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of empty land in the U.S.
Oh, sure.
There's
yeah,
a
the
lot
I'm
of empty
about
land
Florida,
in the U.S.
Florida, right around here in Englewood.
Yeah,
Northport
but it,
has
but
blown
drive
up
from here to the East Coast.
Oh, yeah,
across,
it. Yeah.
Take, you know, go out Kings Highway, hit Highway 70 and take that to the
yep
East Coast.
Yeah.
You're going to find still, miles
nothing,
miles
yeah
of
there's
empty.
There's nothing out there.
Yeah.
Well, pigs.
There
ain't
even roads.
Yeah, a lot of wild hogs.
There ain't even roads out there.
And even the urban
you got a choice
sprawl,
of like one.
Yeah.
Even the urban sprawl doesn't slow them down because
yeah
they're so adaptive
right
to their environment.
Well, what's this island right here? Nothing but hogs.
Hog Island.
Hog Island. I mean, they go out swimming. They're
yeah
trying
Kale
to escape
Costa
the island. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I've had them. I've sat in a slot on the west wall fishing for redfish and snook, and we could hear something coming up the canal. We thought it was a school of jacks coming up the canal. And here it was a mother and five piglets.
Wow.
Just swimming up the saltwater canal.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, they swim real well. They are smarter than dolphins. And believe it or not. Oh, yeah. No, no.
Yeah,
absolutely
I
true.
I give it to you, but man.
But
they just,
I will tell you what's
it's
really.
It's the bacon. I think it's the bacon.
The craziest yeah thing about hogs is that. I grew my first car I bought with the money I made raising hogs. I was selling 40-pound feeder pigs.
Right.
If you're nice to a hog pig, they will have more babies. If you're mean to them, they will have less babies. They kind of get the whole symbiotic thing. Okay,
right,
you're going to take care of me, and we're going to go, and our population is going to grow. I give you babies, and this goes on. And because if you're nice to them and it's a good and clean environment, they'll have like 13, 16 babies. If you're mean to them, they'll have like 3, 5, or 6.
Huh.
They're, I mean, when I say they're, and it's the only creature I know of that if you have them farm raised, just a normal hog in a pen, and they get out into the wild, they grow wiry hair and their tusks grow.
Right. Yep.
They revert back to their wild form.
Wild life, yeah.
It's literally an amazing animal.
Mom and Dad,
huge amount of respect.
The ones I call Mom and Dad, when they grew up and started having kids of their own, they got a pig, a wild hog. They got it as a yearling, a young one, and they brought it into the house.
Yeah, oh, we always had them.
It was better than a dog to them.
I had a wild hog for about a year.
Is that
from
right?
a piglet? Yeah.
See, that's a common thing with you guys.
And
me?
No, literally.
Yeah.
If you want them potty trained,
all you
got to do is pick them up when they start going to the bathroom and put them in a litter box, and that's what it takes to potty train a pig.
Wow.
That's it. I mean, one time, put them in there.
I don't know. I asked what the name was, and I couldn't quite remember fast enough. And I said, Pork Chop. Let me know the name was Pork Chop. Please tell me it was not Pork Chop. But it was bacon. But I thought that was weird. And they actually raised this thing for years.
Kale, what happened when somebody knocked on the door of your house?
He would run to the door barking like the dogs.
Really?
Yeah. Run right to the door.
Seriously.
He laid with the dogs. He thought he was a dog. He didn't know the difference.
That is awesome.
No, amazing animals. And
I taught him to sit, stay, come, lay down, roll over quicker than I did any of my dogs.
Wow.
Probably half
the
time.
All right, so, and you said about a year, year and a half. What did you do after that?
He went to a buddy's house down in Naples. He put him in a pen outside and brought in a female.
Right.
And then called me a few months later wondering if there was something wrong with my pig because he wouldn't have babies with the female. Yeah, there's something wrong with him. We had him fixed.
Yeah.
Oh. So then he became Thanksgiving dinner. That's what you do with them.
But they do taste good.
The same thing happened to all my hogs. I had them for years. One was 400 pounds. The other one was 480-ish. Yeah. And they acted as guard dogs in the yard. And when we ended up moving away, we moved from the country out in the farmland into the city. And Dad was all worried we wouldn't eat them. And I was like, no, that's kind of what they were there for, but they had a good life, made a lot of piglets. They had a good life.
I can honestly say I've never petted one. I've shot them. I've hunted them.
You literally missed out. They're truly spectacular animals.
Yeah. Well,
and
you know, I got another
all
kid.
That being said, I like hunting hogs. They're challenging because they are smart.
Yep.
They're
adaptive. Nose. You can't
very
beat
adaptive.
That nose.
Yeah. They can smell you coming. Yep. They've got fair eyesight. They get a great sense of smell, good sense of hearing, and fair eyesight.
Yeah, and pretty quick.
They're very quick.
And I think the thing that really amazed me when I first started hunting for them is just how quiet they can be. I mean, you'll sit there hunting and you'll hear what sounds like a herd of elephants coming. And it's probably just a cardinal playing in the trees.
Or squirrel.
Or squirrel. Or
nuisance. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the hogs, they just show up. Yeah. You don't hear them.
I believe, and this is from my experience, being in the woods, you're from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
We're going to let our on-air people kind of know. I'm in West Virginia. So we have about the same mountain terrain kind of setup.
Sure.
And we'd be out there hunting for deer or squirrel or whatever. And like you said, you'll hear them, and it's usually a nuisance. It's a bird of some sort, a squirrel of some sort, a groundhog, whatever. But a pig, it will ease in. I believe a lot of it is they smell you, they know you're there, but they're not afraid. They are not afraid. They're going to come and check you out, and they're going to see what's going on. But they can be right up on you before you even know they're in your territory.
Yeah,
they can literally be sitting right up underneath of you, and you won't know.
You can't beat the nose.
No.
I actually saw that, and I changed my whole hunting aspect based on that. I had a little closed-off, overgrown orange grove about 40 acres inside, and I had a feeder out there.
Down here in Florida?
Down here in Florida, because we are allowed to run feeders.
Right.
And they wouldn't come in. And I knew it was because they could smell me. So what I did was use their brains, use their nose, and use their stomach against them. I would double up the feed But then every day I would go out in shorts and sandals and walk around that grove.
Right.
Go to the bathroom out there.
Put your scent there.
Put my scent out there. Get them used to it.
Yep.
And it was in no time they would account my scent with food. And they would come in without a problem. But I could never take anybody else out there. They wouldn't come in.
Because of their scent.
Because of their scent.
Interesting.
Now, weren't you sitting in like a tree stand one night when you found out how sneaky they actually are?
I actually had a tripod stand out there. And I was wondering why they hadn't come in. Because you never hear them.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the tripod stand started shaking.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? I look down, and he's scratching his back up against the legs of the tripod stand.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you hunting with at that point?
I had my AR.
Okay.
And I always carried a pistol with me.
Right.
And that day, I happened to have my .45. And I ended up shooting him with the .45 instead of the AR, because he's right
angle.
Underneath me.
Yeah, angle, yeah. Yeah.
If it would go to the feeder, which was 20 yards away,
they were
game with the rifle.
All right, for everyone's sake, AR, what does it stand for?
Armalite rifle.
Certainly not assault rifle.
Certainly not assault rifle.
All right, good enough.
And I think they're a great pig gun.
Yeah.
Now, pigs...
No, that's a small caliber.
Now, wait a minute. Why would it be a good pig gun?
Small,
because
quick
I
caliber.
Think everybody, and I hesitate to use the word overkill, because you can't kill something more than dead.
Right.
But I will say a lot of people overgun hogs, because hogs have a reputation of being hard to kill. And it's usually based on people not being as good a shots as they think they are.
So in other words, what you're saying is, you suck, get a bigger gun.
All right.
And that's what they do. And you also, most people come down here from up north, like I did. They're used to deer hunting. They're
right.
used to shooting high behind that shoulder.
Yep. And that's not where their kill zone is.
For your vital organs. And the vital organs in a hog sit lower towards its chest, towards the ground, than it does a hog, or than it does a pig, or a deer. So most people are shooting them high behind the shoulder and not hitting anything vital.
Just me.
And not killing it.
That's all they're shooting, is me.
And the other thing that they have a tendency to do is bleed internally. They don't usually leave that much of a blood trail. That fat in their body seals off that bullet hole, and they end up bleeding internally. So they do get a very false aura of being hard to kill. They're not. You put a .223 in their ear, and they're done. They don't go anywhere. They don't run. They just collapse right then and there.
I need to get the video. This is a true story. Just the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine. She went out hunting for the first time. Her name's Nikki. And she shot the pig, the hog, from a stand, a blind. And when she shot it high and to the shoulder, where the heart of a deer typically would be. And if it was a deer, dead.
Sure.
Deader than a hammer. And she was using a .308.
Yep.
So it would have blew it out. Through and through. Probably the deer, or the pig, the hog, run off and died. There's a good chance. Like you said, internal
sure.
bleeding, maybe. But I doubt it. Because what she actually hit was straight meat. There's real, unless she did some bone damage, unless she blows that shoulder out, that hog can run for days, and it'll be fine. And what will happen is the fat on it will basically seal up, and no problems. It was probably a through-and-through shot. Have she come back about probably 3.5-4 inches and dropped down probably about 4 inches, so down and back, she would have hit a vital organ, probably the heart, and boom, dead. But...
Have you ever lung shot a deer?
Yes, but not on purpose.
Sure, yeah. But how big was that blood trail?
Pretty distinctive. Like, you can follow it easily without a problem, and you're going to go to its death site.
Right.
And you're going to see, initially the shot, you're going to have a pool of blood. Then you're going to have probably five or six drops. And then about 20 yards away, you're going to find your deer.
You got a pretty good blood trail.
Oh, yeah.
One of the first hogs I shot down here was a through-and-through lung shot with a 12-gauge slug.
None.
He ran 100 yards before he died. I had 2 drops of blood.
Wow.
That's how efficient that fat is to sealing off those external wounds and then bleeding internally. So they get a very good mystique of them about being hard to kill.
Now, I will
and they
say,
really aren't.
All right. Now, what I want to know is, you're an AR-15... Right,
yeah.
And
yeah.
you're shooting a .223
or .556.
Now, okay. It's a very fast bullet, very clean bullet.
All right.
It's going to go in, do minimal damage, but it's going to get the job done.
All right. Now, Donnie, you're not a 223 guy. What do you hunt them with?
I am not. I will, depending on the area, okay, and so on and so forth.
You have no bias against the 223.
Right. I'm not biased against it, but me personally, I love my old 30-30 lever action Marlin over-under. I like my iron sights. Here's the problem, though. You're going to have more range out of the AR-15. So you can be on one side of the hillside shooting across the other side. I'm going to have max about 200 to 225 yards, and that's if I'm arcing. So I've got to be close. Now, we just went over the fact that the pig can smell you.
Like 50 yards is what you really want to, within 100 yards.
My 30-30?
Yeah.
Me, comfortably between 100 and 150.
Okay.
Anything outside of that, I'm really going to have to take aim and really know my target.
Now, because I don't really know, what is, Kale, the difference in the 223 round and the 30-30 round?
Well, your big difference is going to be bullet size and trajectory.
Yep.
And your transfer of energy.
And what would that difference be?
A punch from Manny Pacquiao and a punch from Mike Tyson.
The 223 is a smaller round, but it is faster than a 30-30.
And it's more pointy, isn't it?
Yeah. Most 30-30s are flat nose because most of them are lever action.
Right.
And you've got those bullets sitting in a magazine with the bullet tip on the primer on the one ahead of it.
Yeah.
And if they're pointy and
bang,
you drop a lever action on its butt, you just built yourself a hand grenade.
But essentially, he nails it.
The good thing is that Hornady now is making some very good lever action bullets. They are pointed tip, but they do have a polymer tip, so you
plastic.
Don't have to worry about them setting off the primer of the one in front of it.
Interesting.
Very good rounds. But your biggest difference, I love the 30-30. I grew up with a 30-30 in Pennsylvania hunting deer.
Right. Most of it was
the reason I chose a 30-30 was because of its brush cutting capability.
Exactly.
If I shoot that 223 or that 5.56 and I hit a small tree branch, it can alter the trajectory of that bullet.
Where
your 30-30, it really isn't going to hurt it much. It probably won't hurt it at all. They're very popular for hunting in thick areas, and just about everywhere you hunt down here in Florida is either wide open
or
so thick you can't see more than 5 feet in front of you.
So what I'm hearing is if you're in kind of a wide open area, like say you've got a pasture field or something with low grass on it, you're going to use the AR for hog hunting at that point.
Good.
But if you're in an orange grove or close quarters situation.
Right. I don't think you can beat that 30-30 in those types of situations.
Now, again, both of us are going to hunt it the same way, I'm assuming, is take out the head. Because if I drop one of these ear hole, he's going down.
Yep. Period. There's no tracking him. There's no chasing after him. And the worst thing you want to do is go after a wounded hog, because now he's angry.
Yep.
Well, I got to tell you, if you shot me in the belly, I'd be a little upset myself.
You'd probably be a little upset and ready to fight.
Yeah. But
and the thing about a hog is they can fight back. I think
that's
one of the allures of hog hunting.
Absolutely.
Is
the danger.
Almost every other animal you go with, excluding maybe a grizzly, is always on the escape end of it.
Right.
The hog can go, you know what? Okay, you got me. Let me return the favor.
Yeah.
The little front tusk is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. They can cut into you very deep, very quick. And if they hit that main artery in your leg, you're a goner.
Yeah.
You're not making it back to the truck.
No, once you pop that artery in your leg, you're kind of done for, and that's what they're aiming for.
There's something about a pig. It knows. I don't know if they can sense the heartbeat, whether they've been through these, but there's a.
Well, they grow up fighting.
Yeah, there's a preset deal in their brain. Yeah, but they're not fighting humans all the time. But they know exactly where your tolerance is, and they will hit you with that hard.
So
now I'm going to back on the round of velocity type thing.
Okay.
If you go at a 9mm pistol and you go at a 40 or 45 pistol, okay, you're talking about the same what. You have a smaller round, much faster. It'll still get the job done. It just don't have the knockdown, so it's not going to blow it off its feet as common. Now, the rounds are getting better and better every day now. Where the 45, you have the knockdown, but it's not a very fast bullet. It's one of those things that's going to have the punch. Now, not a lot of people jump out of the way of a bullet either way, you know, whatever. But you have a slower round coming at you, and it's going to have a large thump to it. Also, the distance to travel. The slower the round, obviously, it can't go as far. So you're going to have a tell-off. You see what I'm saying? So if you're shooting out here in an open orange grove, open field.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I misspoke before, because in an orange grove, you can be very close up with the animal, or if you're set up right on the orange grove, you can be going down a row of oranges
and see
hundreds of yards.
Yeah.
Now, I tried not to do that. I haven't taken a shot over a hog at 50 yards.
Yeah.
Because I'm lazy. I'm going to bait them in and shoot them at 20 yards.
Yeah.
While they're sitting there eating corn.
Because it's less distance to go get them and put them in the truck.
And that's the one thing that I learned. Pennsylvania is very old-fashioned when it comes to hunting. There's only two things that you're allowed to hunt on Sundays in Pennsylvania, that being coyotes and crows. You're not allowed to bait in Pennsylvania. They just now got semi-automatic rifles to hunt with in Pennsylvania. A lot more liberal down here in the hunting.
Yeah.
You're allowed to bait them. You can shoot hogs with whatever you want. We got guys going out with knives and spears.
Yeah. Hogs do billions of dollars worth of damage a year.
Absolutely.
We're not talking millions, boys and girls. We're talking billions. And what we're going to have to do is the next time we come back to hogs, they're good to eat, aren't they?
They're absolutely wonderful to eat. Now, the one thing you do have to keep in mind, hog flesh will hold what it eats. It'll hold that flavor.
That's right.
Reason number two to hunt an orange grove. They're already marinated. Now, if you see them out there on the west wall of the harbor and they're digging in that harbor dirt, they're going to taste like dead fish in mud.
Yep.
That's why most people will trap them, feed them corn for 5 or 6 months to clean them out, and then eat them.
Very true.
But when you get them in an orange grove, it's already taken care of.
I like his philosophy.
I would take a leg off of one of those hogs, throw it on the grill for about 6 hours.
Smoke it.
All I did was flip it over every hour, coat it with barbecue sauce, and you would have sworn I marinated it in orange juice for days.
All right, for the record, we can't have a food show just before this and now talk about food again, because now I'm hungry.
All right. Now, we've got a couple minutes left, and to get back into there, how about a prayer, Donnie, for safe hunting, going out and coming back safe?
Father God, we want to thank you for this opportunity for our fellowship here. Father, it is hunting season up in Georgia right now. There's good hunting all throughout the land, actually, Father. And Father, there's a lot of people going out there in the woods. So, Father, we just ask you to bring them home safely to our dear loved ones. Let them enjoy your nature that you have provided us. And, Father, let the animals always be plentiful. And, Father, again, we just want to thank you for all your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to add in on there right after that a little bit that the animals always be safe, fairly treated, and not wasted.
That's right.
Yep.
Big thing about what we do here on this show is we're not about wasting anything.
Amen.
If, no matter what you do in life, if the less waste you produce, the less waste you cause, the better and cleaner you're going to be, which often means hunting, killing, cleaning, cooking your own animals, because sometimes having a little blood on your hands makes your insides a little cleaner. If we can all do our best not to waste any of the resources, we are always going to have more stuff, better stuff, and be better people.
Definitely. Amen. If God didn't want us to hunt these animals, he wouldn't have made them so tasty.
Well, I like, you know, the whole PETA thing. People eating tasty animals.
Right.
There's a place for all God's creatures.
Oh boy.
Right next to the potatoes and the corn.
Exactly.
So, anyway, boys and girls, it's time for our buddy to play guitar, and time for me. I'm Frank. That's Pastor Donnie and Captain Kale. And this is God, Guns, and Game. Thanks for listening.